Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Peyton Jones guides us through the Old Testament book of Leviticus. Now to Pastor Peyton.
Leviticus chapter 11 today on Through the Word. It's time to hit the road with Diner Drive-Ins and Dives Leviticus style and talk about what you cannot eat. I recently read an article by a restaurant reviewer who profiled a cafe packed with Hollywood actresses who were overheard complaining about what they couldn't eat over their kale salads. The Hebrews might have felt a little similar at times, but for a different reason. It's important to know that you're heading into a section of Leviticus that clarifies the difference between what is clean and unclean. And today, that hits the table, and we talk about the foods that they can and cannot eat. And summing up the chapter, verse 47 states, the reason for these dietary restrictions is, quote, to make a distinction between the unclean and the clean. For that reason, chapter 11 talks about clean foods and unclean foods. Chapter 12 discusses cleanness in relation to birth and afterbirth. Chapter 13 and 14, disease, all unclean. Chapter 15 talks about my favorite topic, bodily functions. Chapter 11, verse 2 says, these are the things you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth. The first part of chapter 11 tells you what to and what not to put in your mouth. Sorry, Duck Dynasty hillbillies. Just because it moves doesn't mean you should eat it. The first section of this chapter has to do with cattle. Verse 3 says, whatever parts the hoof and is cloven-footed and chews the cud among the animals, you can eat it. So verses 3 through 8 basically have two rules. Number 1, it has to have a cloven hoof if you can eat it. And number 2, it has to chew the cud. Now this is a field guide for those scrounging, hunting, gathering, and basically rustling up some grub. So therefore, when they walked through the field and they saw an animal, it might appear to be something that they could eat, but nonetheless, they had to be super careful. Now, to the casual field observer, a rabbit might appear to eat its cud, but nonetheless, it didn't have a cloven hoof, so it was out. Likewise, pigs, although they have cloven hooves, don't chew the cud. It had to have both. It's pretty simple. After verse 8, we move on to the other food groups, and not the ones that you grew up with, unless, of course, bugs was one of those food groups. Verses 9 through 12 have to do with things that swim, like fish and other crispy critters that live under the sea. You couldn't just grab a snarfblatt and start eating up a lobster or a catfish, because those were bottom feeders. Anything that ate something else's poodoo or scavenged dead things was out. Verses 13 through 19 are foul. I don't mean foul as in disgusting. I mean foul as in chicken. Unless you're talking about bats, that's foul to eat that, but those were off the menu anyways. In fact, you could eat duck, chicken, but there were certain winged things you weren't allowed to eat. You had to be careful, though, because almost everything tastes like chicken anyways. Hey, have a hankering for bugs with wing and four legs? Don't even think about it, pal, unless those legs are jointed. Listen, Jack, it's a good thing that locusts and katydids and crickers and grasshoppers have jointed legs. I was worried a second there. Sadly, cockroaches are off the menu. All that's found in verses 20 through 23. Why not look at it right now and see what bugs you're allowed to eat? Verse 29 falls into the category of creeping things, rats, lizards, geckos, or creepy things, animals that are small and low to the ground. And because rats, lizards, and creepy things tend to be found dead a lot, the next section has to do with what their dead, filthy carcasses contaminate. And if you're going around touching dead things as a hobby, then verses 31 through 43 are going to disappoint. This section has to do with touching things, particularly things that are dead. If you touched a dead animal, you were unclean until the evening. That meant you had to wash your body, wash your clothes, and stay outside of the camp until the sun went down, you filthy animal. Skeptics often use these chapters to try to make the Bible look ridiculous. That's why I can't wait to get into the following chapters and clear away some misconceptions. Remember in the previous chapter, Aaron's sons didn't listen to the instructions and they went home in body bags. Why? Because they didn't recognize the difference between clean and unclean, and that was important to God. They were mixing them up, and in chapter 10, God said, I will be sanctified or set apart. I will be glorified. Chapter 11, verse 44 and 45 says, for I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. You shall not defile yourself with any swarming thing that crawls on the ground. For I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. For this reason, they were told to be holy or set apart in dress, diet, and practice. The reason is that they were heading into hostile territory, or at least territory that was hostile to their faith. God had punched their train ticket for Canaan, and the problem with Canaan is it was filled with Canaanites, and that means pagans. Canaanites might sound like a kind of tick flea or boll weevil that you weren't supposed to eat in this chapter, but the problem was an infestation and not of the insect kind. It was their pagan ways and pagan practices that were not holy that God was worried about infesting this new people he was bringing into the land. For example, if you moved into a new neighborhood today, the worst thing you'd have to fear is maybe your neighbor's tuna casserole when they invite you out for dinner. But if the Canaanites invited you over, they started to take their clothes off. One thing led to another, and pretty soon they were marrying foreign women. So, like our healthcare system learned many years ago, it's better to approach the problem by preventing a disease rather than trying to cure it. For that reason, God teaches them to eat differently so that when pagan Bob knocks on the door and says, "Heidi ho, neighbor, want to come over for some naked pagan barbecue?" you're able to say, sorry, no, I can't eat sautéed wombat liver with kangaroo breastmate gruyere with sassafras and fava beans. It's against my religion. But I do appreciate the offer. Might seem kind of separatist to you, but that was the idea. Being holy meant being set apart. What might start with a simple taste for barbecue might develop into a wife swap. And a wife swap would probably turn into a God swap. God didn't want to be traded in for naked barbecues and gods that made you barbecue your children as a sacrifice. Oh yeah, they usually left that part out on the first date, but it helps to read the fine print. That's what they did for their gods, and God said, "I would save you all of that heartache and pain." Remember that to be clean in Leviticus meant that you could approach God and make sacrifices so he could make you holy. Being unclean meant that you couldn't approach God, but being holy meant God could approach you, and that only came through sacrifice. The sacrifice made you holy. When they were eating meat, God didn't want them worshiping pagan gods. He wanted them to eat things like the peace offering, which celebrated restored fellowship with God. If they ate the food of their neighbors, chances are they'd be eating meat sacrificed to a different god, and people take their clothes off, get jiggy to a jig, and the game would be up. Rather than eating after they were forgiven, they'd be eating compounding sin upon sin. Therefore, God put up this protective barrier. Read Leviticus chapter 11 today and try to think of how your life would be different if you had to observe these dietary practices. And oh yeah, try not to drool all over your Bible.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.